the fact that you said you dabbled in the MPC competitions, right? Are you still, you still doing that, or is that kind of, it came?
No. So, all right. So rewind a little bit. My story starts, I was a dancer in high school and college. And I did like a professional dance team for a bit. Yeah. So that was cool. And then, that was for like Major League Lacrosse, and then eventually would have turned into like NFL, NBA type dance, but
holy shit, that's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. But, I decided to go to grad school and get my master's degree. So that took up a lot of time. I'm my background is an occupational therapist.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I love working with people, helping people, and, I definitely love to perform, and I felt like, okay, I need to get back on stage somehow.
Okay.
And I would just like look at the Instagram people and fitness. I was like, I could do this. Like I could totally compete. So, a few summers ago, I think 2018 maybe, I was like, you know what, I'm going to do this. And I think it was like 4 or 6 months of prep. I lost probably 30 pounds.
Wow. Good for you.
My stage was like 104, 106, I want to say.
Jeez.
Yeah. So like literally I would be at work because I was working in a hospital, and my scrubs would be like falling off me. Like people would be like, is she sick?
Like, yeah, I was about to say, people were probably like, you need to eat a sandwich. Like, no, it's just prep.
It's seriously just, and I literally would like take my blood pressure like before and after working with the patients. I was like, okay, so I did the competition. I actually got third place, which was really cool.
That's amazing. That's absolutely amazing. Yeah.
But I mean, listen, it wasn't all glamour. So it was awesome. It was cool. Like the hair, the makeup, the tanning, blah, blah, blah. But I have to be honest, it wasn't like everything that I had hoped for, because I love performing and dancing, and I kind of wanted like to get on stage and have it be that same feeling. It was cool, but it was different. And like throughout that whole prep, I know that other people on your podcast and people listening like are also in the fitness world, and they know how hard it is. Like, I lost a significant amount of weight. I stopped getting my period. My sex drive completely diminished. Like me and my boyfriend at the time were having issues. We ended up breaking up, and that just didn't help either.
That was
tough, but definitely my background of like dance and then doing the bikini competition was just kind of like a cool bucket list checked off my list.
Yeah. And I feel that, and it's kind of funny. Nobody really talks about what you kind of have to give up when you're going down that route, that road. You know, it naturally, even if you're just doing a competition for the bucket list, right, it always seems as though you have to separate yourself from anything on the outside. You have to separate yourself from fun, basically. And so, yeah, to your point, I mean, I feel that, you know, your relationships take a beating, and then you can't enjoy yourself, you know. That's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I'm not a big drinker. So like having to give up alcohol was no big deal for me, but like, I have a big sweet
would have
tooth.
Been for me.
I'm sure for a lot of people too, but like for me, like I don't need to drink. I just want to eat cookies.
Yeah.
And like that was hard for me. So, I mean, I think just kind of like also keeping in mind, like being healthy too, like I lost so much weight in a short amount of time. I was working out twice a day. I was measuring every single, you know, thing that I was eating. It was funny. Like after the competition, we ended up having like a little party at work, like, yay, Jordan can eat normal now. And like people would make fun of like my 3 p.m. like shrimp snack time. Yeah. So it was definitely an experience for sure.
But it's cool though that the difference between you and other people who maybe do a show is that you're an occupational therapist, you know, you've got legitimate, you know, education behind you, like backing you up, which is cool because I imagine that's what influenced your business. Right. So you bring your business, you know, front and center. That's your occupational therapy. does that, that comes into your business, I guess.
Yeah. So yeah. For people listening, because a lot of people don't necessarily know what occupational therapy is. I've been a therapist for 6 years, and Ooh. It's similar to physical therapy and also speech therapy in the sense that we work with patients or people to get them back to independence. So yeah. really like after injury, accident, you know, in a level one trauma hospital, which is where I work, I see Sounds patients intense. With yeah, stroke, heart attack, brain injury, amputations, like
any sort of
like injury, accident, and then kind of getting them back to their occupation, not in the sense of a job, but in the sense of like everything that you do on a day-to-day basis that you take for granted,
life.
So like yeah. what motivates you, yes, like literally life therapy, which, because I feel like I'm the OG life coach, health coach, like as a, my background really is helping people finding what like motivates them and yeah. understanding their role, their routine, you know, that maybe before their accident, before their stroke, they're a mom or they have,
that's amazing.
They have grandkids or they have a dog or they, yeah. you know, they work, like what is your identity and how cool. can we get you back to that? Right. So like patients who've had shoulder replacements or elbow replacements and they want to get back to playing golf. Or I had a kid who it's like it was trauma season a little bit ago for the summer. So we had a lot of motorcycle crashes, you know, people getting back to trying to get back to life. Like now yeah. this one kid, like some of them are paralyzed now and like having to now live your new life like yeah. that. Yeah, wow. So I mean, For my business, like I, especially with COVID, because honestly, COVID was really a shit show at the hospital. Like
I can imagine. yeah.
I mean,
not the first person to say that, that's for sure. Well, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. And honestly, like being in a hospital in New York, it was like really, it was worse than like you would even think.
Yeah.
So, I feel like that gave me like a little bit of a revelation of like, yes, it's great. I help people after their illness or something happens, but I'm like, who's helping these people before they come to the hospital? Like who's helping people prevent hospitalization in the first place?
You found kind of a missing part in the fitness industry too. With the whole occupational therapy take on fitness, because you talk to a bunch of trainers, bunch of coaches, and the message is pretty much the same, right? You don't hear too many people talking about sort of using daily life as maybe your motivation for fitness and applying it to the occupational therapy realm. So it almost seems like this can apply to everybody. It could be anybody, you know, from very severe injuries to people who don't know where to start with fitness, you know, they could take what you're trying to preach and apply it to their lives, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, I found CrossFit, which I'm sure is a controversial topic in the bodybuilding world in general. But for me, what CrossFit is functional fitness, right? Yeah. Like you're using your body and these movements, the deadlift, the squat, the bench press, like these are, or even just like Olympic lifting, like overhead, they're movements that I feel like help me in my everyday life, whether I'm lifting patients out of bed, whether I'm doing the groceries, whether I'm, you know, like me and my boyfriend just bought a house, like we're about Nice. To move lots of furniture. So like being functional and being able to live your life. And even with people who, let's say like they have grandkids and they have back, you know, they had a back surgery and just like learning how to move your body properly.
That's awesome.
Was definitely something I learned, but my business now it's called Health Reconditioned.
I love it.
Thank you. Not to shit on conventional medicine because there's
no totally do it. it's okay.
no, listen,
go for it.
There's totally a place for conventional medicine, but I think even now with COVID, like people are hopefully prioritizing their health and realizing how important it is to stay healthy and see what happens when some kind of virus can really affect your body and change your whole life.
Yeah.
So, you know, yes, it's great that being in a hospital and working with patients to help them after. But now my focus is on helping people understand how to be healthy, like from the beginning. So like you go to the doctor, you say, you know, I don't feel so great. Your lab tests come back normal. The doctor says, okay, well, everything looks good. So, you know, just exercise, eat healthy, drink water, see you in 6 months. And then it's like, well, what the fuck? Like,
yeah.
Well, who's supposed to help me do all this? You know,
yeah, and it's true. They just kind of send you off.
Exactly. So I think the whole health coaching world like speaks to me just because like I've had my own health issues. Like I have IBS and I'm like learning about all these different things that conventional doctors don't necessarily test for or don't bring to the surface or don't educate their patients on. Like it could be an underlying inflammation or fungus or parasite or bacteria or,
yeah,
you know, things that may not show up on these conventional lab tests in your blood work, but they're what's causing it. So it's not, you know, especially now with after COVID and being in a hospital and just kind of seeing the way the medical model is now is very symptom treatment as opposed to health promotion and prevention, right? It's kind of like, true. Okay, like we're like seeing the medical students be like, oh, well, let's talk about this patient who has this, this, and this. It's really like a list of symptoms just to put a title on it, make a diagnosis, and then connect a medication. But why are we trying to find out like why this patient had this in the first place, right? Like you're not born with all of these genetic diseases that, yeah. I mean, the medical like diabetes and
yeah, you're not just
hypertension and
yeah, it's not how life is. It's not disease and, you know, it's not symptom and treatment like what you said. It's there's more to it. There's things that you need to take into account in your daily life and everything. So do you feel like the idea of using really healthy habits has been lost in today's culture just to help develop the immune system or to like promote a good feeling that you have with your body, as opposed to what you said, going to a doctor and then like, oh, I need this pill or something to fix it, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, think the way the world is now, there's so much, like even on the commercials, it's like, ask your doctor about this medication or, you everything. Know, and Googling everything. Like, listen, it's great that we have the access to information, but I feel like because we're bombarded constantly with like this new fad diet, gluten-free, dairy-free, you know, this alternative type of food, like and I feel like we really need to go back to the basics and the fundamentals, which I feel like everyone says, but like I feel like people almost question it. Like, it's really that simple. No, that can't be right. I need something else. Like, no, it really is that simple.
Yeah. And do you think that social media and all of the, you know, all the coaches we have now on social media have taken us away from the way of thinking simple, basically, because they've maybe complicated things, you know, do this program, you'll look like me kind of deal.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I think it depends on what the background is and like what you're really trying to promote. I mean, yes, I think it's good to have like affiliations with companies, but I think you really have to stand by whether it's a specific product or program. Like there's got to be some validity. Like I'm big on research and kind of like, you know, really questioning like how this works. And I definitely think social media is kind of overwhelming for people to see. And
yeah. It's almost like people are obsessed with what's cool now. And people like you who've got the background, who've worked it, you know, in a legitimate medical setting, you know, it's almost like it would be tougher for you to build a business, as twisted as that is.
Yes. You're so true. And I feel like that's kind of like my marketing and sales is really, so like the big thing, so functional medicine is really like what I preach and what I'm like passionate about. I mean, have you heard of, like, do you know what functional medicine?
Explain it to me.
Sure. Okay. So functional medicine really is like the holistic approach. So okay. especially with my background as an OT, we always look at the person as a whole, right? So nice. Conventional medicine tends to separate everything into parts, right? So like you have headaches and something with your head, you go to the neurologist. You have something wrong with your stomach, you go to the GI. You have something wrong with your foot, you go to the podiatrist. Like,
yeah.
let's, and then, you know, there's really limited doctors who who look at the entire body as a whole and understand how the systems connect, because there's a root cause of, and that's like the big buzzword in functional medicine, but it's really like an underlying understanding of your body of why these symptoms are showing up. It's kind of like the check engine light in your car, right? Like yeah. these things that are normal, like bloating and gas and headaches and this, like that is almost like a norm of every day, but that really is your body sending signals like something's wrong. And functional medicine really tries to get down to the bottom of like, well, why is this an issue in the first place? As opposed to like, you know, okay, you have these symptoms and let's just treat them. But then yeah. you have medication, then you have side effects. And I don't think really the conventional doctors, unfortunately, just the way the medical model is, like there's just not enough time to spend with patients to really go over like their entire health history, their daily habits, their yeah. routines. And, you know, I mean, I understand like that's just kind of how it is, but I feel like that's why me as a person, I'm so passionate about like getting out there and just trying to yeah. either connect with doctors and just be like, listen, I know you can't spend the time that you need to with your patients, but I'm willing to really, you know, use my time and education to help people understand like why their bodies are reacting to certain things. And within functional medicine, there are specialty lab tests, which actually are, is a part of my program where I will send like at home lab tests.
Oh, wow. Where, that's awesome.
Yeah. So there's like the urine or some of them require like blood samples, but it could be like a food sensitivity versus like an allergy mm-hmm. that you have that you may not even realize is why you're feeling these symptoms or yeah. a stool analysis. But the thing is that like these tests or like a micronutrient deficiency, but like these tests, the normal ranges are slightly different than if you go to the conventional doctor. So if you go to your regular doctor, they might say, oh, your tests look normal, right? Yeah. But like you might be on the upper or lower range of these numbers. And that doesn't mean that you're at an optimal level for your body. Like, yeah, you're a little bit high. For them, it's okay mm-hmm. because it falls within this range. And it's, you know, what insurance has to say. But for me, I'm looking at like, your body needs to be functioning at the highest capacity that it can in order for you to function like at the best level that you're able to.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So part of my business model and program is doing an initial like evaluation assessment of someone and understanding their main symptoms, what they're going through, maybe what has kind of led them to this point. And then we use the term test, don't guess, right? So like some of these social media, whatever, health coaches might just say, let's do this and give you these products, give you these programs.
Let's see, here's to give you things, yeah.
Yes, and like maybe it's individualized, but it's not individualized because they haven't taken your blood work. They haven't taken your specific genetic biomarkers to understand like what's going on in your body at this moment in order to pinpoint and target the exact program that they protocol that they want you to follow. So
that's awesome. So, but what's cool. So it is a way you're helping people find a way to interpret what they're being told. Essentially it's to sort of make the decision for themselves. So not only do they think for themselves, but then it's supplemental to what the doctor might be telling them. And it's a way to go full circle with it. So you're rounding everything out, basically. You're giving them everything as opposed to them feeling like they're missing something.
Yes. Yeah. I like that way yeah. of putting it. Yeah, it really is. I mean, it's very comprehensive, but it is also like empowerment of the patient to advocate yeah. for themselves after yeah. they've understood more about their body and like what's going on and how everything that they do impacts.
And but that's the thing that's the key thing that's missing nowadays is the idea is the knowledge is there if you want to train yourself or learn how you can live a functional lifestyle. The knowledge is everywhere. You know, it's on YouTube, it's easy access. And nowadays, what the market is missing is people who can point you to that, people who can point to, like what you said, you know, the proper tests that maybe they can take to understand, you know, what the core of the issue might be and how they themselves can deal with that. So no, I appreciate that. If anybody does, I completely get that, because it's not out there really, you know. Maybe it used to be, but it's gone now. So
that's so thank you. True. Yeah, I mean, yeah. You know, listen, like information is good for people to access, but I also think there needs to be somebody who holds you accountable, who keeps you on track, who is also knowledgeable. Like, yes, you can read research and books and studies, but I mean, that's why people hire coaches, trainers, you know. But it's not just like you're hiring a personal trainer and you're hiring a nutritionist and you're hiring a doctor. It's like literally everything in one of looking at how you can optimize your entire life.
Do you think, and I see this as kind of you fit into this a little bit too, but do you think people, having worked in the hospital, do you think people just, you know, maybe they panic when they can't achieve something and they think there's a legitimate medical reason and they just sort of go to a doctor to try to figure it out? And I think you mentioned that earlier, but when it comes to fitness in general, do you see people going straight to the doctor instead of trying to figure it out themselves?
Yes. You know, okay. I think because people just want a diagnosis, right? They just want a title. They just want to fit into something. And then oftentimes they might use it as a crutch. Like, okay, now I have a diagnosis of fibromyalgia. I am officially someone with this condition. And this is just my life forever.
Yeah. And that's, I did think of fibromyalgia because people have said that. And I don't understand. I know it's out there. It's almost like, you know, people tell me that and they seem fine. I don't know. It's almost like that's where you come in, you know, truly.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think there's a misconception in the medical field in general of like chronic conditions.
Yeah.
Because there are, you know, I mean, you've heard, I'm sure anyone's heard of, people that once had a diagnosis or a disease and then they change their life and they no longer have to take medication or they no longer have this diagnosis. Like, they weren't like a miracle. They're not like a one in a million person. They're just someone who our bodies have all the same systems, right? Yeah. Like we all have all the same organs. It's not like, yes, you might have a stronger genetic predisposition, but there's something newer in the research now called epigenetics. Have you heard of that?
I've heard the term. I can't define it for you.
Okay. Yeah. Basically what it means is that food and your lifestyle can basically switch on and off these genes.
Okay.
And it can like dominate your body in the sense of like, if you're eating certain foods, it might trigger the genes to turn on, to switch on.
Oh, well, and there you go.
Yeah. And so, I mean, you know, I'm not claiming that I have the cure to cancer, but I definitely feel that a lifestyle shift, as simple as it sounds, can significantly change your body makeup.
Yeah. But see, I agree with that though. I don't, you know, that's not, it's funny because, you know, if people heard the term epigenetics, they would think that it's witchcraft or something, but when you break it down, it's like, no, this is not something that's like illogical. It's you're literally just saying the small things can have the biggest influence.
Yes. Which we know. I mean, I was even thinking about, like, I was kind of going through, so the protocol that I follow is called the 5 R's.
Okay.
It's remove, replace, re-inoculate, repair, and rebalance.
Re-inoculate, repair, rebalance. Okay. Okay.
So really the first thing is like removing, right? Like removing all the negative things that are going, but that could be food. Like I was thinking, so to go back to your point of the compounding interest, or like the little things add up. Yeah. Like I was going through my cabinets and looking at my gum, right? Like you think a piece of gum, it's not even really food. You're not necessarily consuming it, but you're chewing it. And the list of chemicals on the back of the gum, I was just like, oh my God, like, no, like what am I doing? Like, yeah. I need to practice what I preach, but just the little things that you don't even look at or realize or think you're ingesting in your body, and they're toxic chemicals that are going in. So the remove is really every single, you know, I take my clients through an extended period of time, however long it might take, you know, depending on where you are in your stage of life, of like removing every single thing, whether it's a food sensitivity, whether it's toxins that you're using in your home, on your skin, like a full kind of life revamp.
Yeah.
And then you replace it with the good stuff, right? So like now you're trying, and it's based on your specific lab test. So like you're looking at like what your body is reacting to. Maybe you have like a bacterial overgrowth or fungus or yeast or something. So then we're replacing it. And then re-inoculate is more of like a gut health, because I feel like a lot of research now is coming out of like gut health, like all disease begins in the gut, right?
Yeah. Or
like the gut-brain connection. So that's like a big thing, like digestive enzymes and probiotics, but really understanding like the pre, pro, and postbiotics, not just like the typical things that, you know, you see in mainstream, but it's kind of understanding like the cycle of how to heal your body. And then repair is repairing your gut lining and repairing the leaky gut, the intestinal tract, to make sure that nothing is leaking out and going into your body and causing inflammation.
Yeah.
And then rebalance is the last step, which really, I mean, everything kind of happens like simultaneously, but rebalance is like rebalancing everything. So now that you've gone through this process, you removed, you replaced, you're kind of healing. Now you're going to rebalance and kind of make this new lifestyle habits, but not just in nutrition and fitness, also sleep, also stress, mindset, right? Like the cognitive, like psychosocial, emotional aspect of it, of like full life revamp, rehaul.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. But it's funny. This is sort of a different topic though, but you know, people go down there whenever people start a diet. Right. And I've heard this just ad nauseum all the time. You get onto the subject of gluten. And so I always get onto the subject of gluten, but to your point, it even like figuring out whether you're gluten insensitive the proper way falls into the R's that you were talking about, because nobody removes, right? Nobody removes and then incrementally puts back in to figure out like how their body responds to certain foods. So it even preaches, it teaches basic things about just implementing diet in general into your lifestyle. At least that's what I've heard, that, you know, that's what I've been taught and everything. But yeah, it just with that, like removing all that stuff, and then figuring out how your body feels about it, you know?
Well, and so that, I mean, what you're explaining basically is like the elimination diet, right?
There you go.
Like
yours is more specific and way more medically founded, but you know, just the idea of removing the harmful shit is kind of where I see that going, you know?
But you know what? But it's not just harmful shit, because your body could be reacting to, raw vegetables, to fruits, to like, you know, those specific, like I feel like I'm thinking of Tom Brady and his like very specific diet of like no nightshade vegetables.
That's right.
Right. Like really like the anti-inflammatory type diet. But the thing is with this protocol, and I didn't make this protocol up, this is like a real thing, but it's just what I follow because I believe in it.
Yeah, it makes sense.
With this protocol, really what you're doing is you're removing everything, but you're going to eventually reintroduce it into your body after you've healed it. So it's not like it's forever, you can never have this. It's just right now your body is not in a state that it can properly absorb.
And but that's so cool, because generally generally that's never looked at. It's never thought about, you know, whenever you're starting any kind of new program, I guess the first thing that pops into people's minds is the workouts. You know, I don't even go down the path of, or hear too much about what you said, you know, figuring out how your body responds, and you don't have to be off of it forever, but then eventually you bring it back in. And the raw, the vegetable thing, I didn't even think about that, but you're so right. It's amazing how I've just forgotten about that. I literally just, gluten is the one thing that sticks in my mind. I hear so much about gluten now. I'm just like, well, all right.
Gluten and dairy.
Dairy. Exactly. Yeah. I don't hear anything about the vegetable side anymore, but yeah, truly.
Yeah. I mean, listen, we can also go into a whole thing about how food is now made and it's processed like that. That could be a whole separate topic.
That's a whole nother conversation.
But to go back to your point with like the fitness thing, like, yes, being able to eat properly and fuel your body so that you have enough energy to sustain a workout. Like, and I think that's why maybe we're not addressing that stuff in the beginning, because you're like, okay, like I don't have enough energy to work out. I'm just going to like, you know, try and sleep more, try and take a pre-workout. But like, let's talk about like how what you're putting in your body is impacting your performance.
So true. Yeah. Yeah. And that's crucial. It's gotta be the way to go. Cause everybody goes in the other direction where you just starve yourself, or I don't know, maybe that's not the case anymore, but it was at one point. You know, you think you got to just cut calories, you know? So yeah, for sure.
Or well, just follow that bodybuilding diet.
Yeah. And I mean, I get it. If you're on prep or something, sure. You gotta do the cutting thing. You gotta go and, you know, build up and break down. But it's for the general population. It is not good. That's for damn sure.